Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered together today with brothers and sisters in Christ. Our church celebrated on the 6th, which was Friday, the beginning of a new church season, which is called Epiphany, the season in which we celebrate all of us having the epiphany that the one born at Bethlehem was in fact our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. So we continue now through a new church season, as well as a new year. We greet those who are joining us on the radio this morning as well. Thanks for tuning in for our worship, and we do have a blessed service planned for everyone today. Our opening hymn for today's service is hymn number 346. In your hymnals there, "When All the World Was Cursed" is the title of that hymn. We'll begin by singing that, and we do invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, on the third verse of that hymn as we process in with the cross and the scriptures this morning. Thanks for being here and joining us. Let's sing together hymn 346. We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. We observe a brief moment of silent for reflection on God's word and self-examination. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. Amen. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Therefore I pray, God Almighty, have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life.
The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our introit from Psalm 117 and Psalm 96. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this, the celebration of the baptism of our Lord Jesus, comes from Isaiah in the 42nd chapter. Here in chapter 42, we hear Isaiah by the Holy Spirit speaking both of the Savior and of the glory that he possesses. We begin in verse 1 of chapter 42. Behold my servant, who I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson this morning comes from the book of Romans in the 6th chapter. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand, if you're able, as the cross processes down to the center of the nave. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to thee, O Christ.
This time we invite the congregation to join us in confessing our faith together to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our next hymn? That's hymn 578, Thy Strong Word. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. If you have your Bible or your bulletin there where Romans 6 is printed, I encourage you to turn over there with me. We'll be looking first at the fifth verse of Romans chapter 6. There, the scripture proclaims, "For if we have been united with Jesus in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." That might raise an interesting question for many folks who would read it. We might ask, how have I been united with Jesus in a death like his? He died on the cross. He was crucified. I was not. In fact, I still am alive, and so are you. But if we're Christians, those who live by faith in the Word of God, we ought not be too quick to draw that conclusion. Because there's more going on here in Romans chapter 6 and in the baptism of Jesus than meets the eye. You may have not had to suffer crucifixion personally. I don't know about you, but I'm really thankful that that's the case, right? Thank you, Lord. Jesus took that for us. But it doesn't mean that you weren't crucified. You were. According to the Bible, with Jesus. Now look with me at verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. We were there. We were there in Christ at his cross. Both in the fact that he was fully what we are, human, and in the fact that we're baptized. And on the celebration of the baptism of Jesus, there couldn't really be a better thing to talk about than baptism. It was in baptism that we were connected to Jesus' death and resurrection. That's where his death became the death of our old sinful nature. And where his life became our new life. If you've never been baptized, please talk to me after the church service and we'll take care of that. If you are baptized, then you receive there in the water all that Jesus accomplished for you. Even your own death and burial. It's all there, and your resurrection. All those things happen to you in Christ and to me. It's already signed, it's already sealed, it's already delivered. In Jesus, we possess them by the promise in the water and the word in our holy baptism. And it's really neat because within this reality of what Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 6, we discover, or we're able to see, I guess I should say, revealed the purpose for the baptism of Jesus. People often ask, why did Jesus need to be baptized? What's going on there? He was not a sinner, right? Correct, he was not. In our gospel lesson, Jesus told John why he needed to be baptized, because John the Baptist had a similar question to anyone who has that question. Chapter 3 of Matthew's gospel, verses 14 and 15, John would have even prevented him, the text says, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered and said, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness." When he said, "It's fitting to fulfill all righteousness," he wasn't talking about his own righteousness. He already had his righteousness. He was talking about yours and mine. It was fitting to fulfill our righteousness, all of our righteousness. Jesus was baptized not because he was corrupted with original sin from Adam and Eve and needed cleansed. No, because he knew the plan. He knew that we would all be baptized in his name. And that it was through baptism where he would make the connection to you and to me. The water and the word is our connection to God, our connection to our Creator, our connection to our Savior, Jesus Christ. When we were baptized, Jesus' life replaced ours before God in heaven. His sacrifice covers us, and we're given his robes of righteousness and fullness of his word to learn, to become students of and disciples of him. That's what Paul's saying in verse 4 when he said, "We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life." The newness of life is the life in the word and sacraments of Christ. So we were crucified with him. We were buried with him. And just as he was raised by the glory of the Father, so it is and will be for us. It all happened in holy baptism. That's why he commanded his disciples to go and baptize and teach. He wants everyone to be connected to him. In the whole world, he desires all live in the grace and mercy of his gospel. And the peace that comes with knowing that what we exert, what we do for God is not to earn anything before him, but it's for the sake of our neighbor and in service to Christ and out of thanksgiving for what he's done for us. He wants the world to know that. He even tells his disciples, "Let the little children come unto me and do not forbid them." Still, we find that people hear these sorts of messages from Romans 6 and they struggle with them. They find them hard to understand that Jesus was baptized for us to connect us to him. But it's the case. We often say in our church, "I wasn't baptized, I am baptized," in the present tense, so that we're always mindful of this connection to Christ each and every day, that our baptism is new every day. One way to help us understand this is to consider for just a minute Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, we have the account of the first account of creation. But what was present there at creation? Stop and think about it for a moment. Do you remember what was there? What was present when the earth was formless and void and darkness covered the face of the deep? Well, here's what the text says. This is chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light." Three things present there in the account: God the Holy Spirit, water, and God said, the word. Three things, nothing else. The rest was without form and void and dark. And that's actually, without form, void, and dark, not a bad descriptor of those who are without faith. those who have no hope, dark, without form, void. Then in our baptisms, who was there? What was there? God the Holy Spirit, the spoken word, and I bet you can guess the third one, water. Baptism is our new creation, our creation and our connection to the new Adam, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. One person put it when talking about the old Adam, they said, all of us, physically speaking, were in Adam, the first Adam. In other words, if he would have passed away, we all would have passed away. In a similar way, we can think about our Lord Jesus. By faith, we were all in him at the cross. By faith, we were all in him in his burial. And by faith, we'll all be with him in the resurrection. Baptism was our connection. It was the connecting point. But wait, one more thing. I was baptized a long time ago. And for many of you, I'm sure that's true also. What if we have sinned grievously since we were baptized? Could we have messed it up? What if we've been living only for ourselves, selfishly, unwilling to serve others? Just taking. What if we've not loved God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And what if we haven't given a hoot about our neighbor? Especially not loved them as ourselves. What would we do? But that's how Paul ends the pericope in verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your sin, my sin, that will cause us to worry that we'd somehow mess this whole thing up or that we'd even messed up our baptism. That, my friends, is precisely what died with Christ on his cross. Don't think it's alive. It's not. It's dead. It may still plague us every day. It may feel stronger than we are in our lives, our sin, I mean. But the apostle said it has no dominion over Christ. And he has connected himself to us in the waters of baptism. So by faith in Jesus, it has no dominion over us. If we thought we could mess this thing up, or that we had, we need to hear again. Our mistakes do not define us. Jesus does. He defines us. What he did in his life, and his death, and his resurrection. That's the definition of you. That's what Paul's saying when he says, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We're baptized, connected to Jesus every day, the one who gave his own life for us. So our forgiveness is real. Our guilt and shame are condemned, and we're safe within the loving arms of our Lord. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time in our service, we take a few moments to receive the tithes and offerings that we give to the Lord. As our offerings are collected and presented this morning, our organist will play an instrumental piece for us. We do remind everyone on occasion that the Lord tells us that we don't give grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And of course, giving is voluntary, and the Lord puts it on our heart that which we should do, and we do that now during this time. Thank you. We now come to the time in our service where we gather together in prayer before our Lord. A response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son fulfilled all righteousness and submitted to baptism with sinners in the Jordan. Well pleased, you opened the heavens for us and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. As you have joined us to Christ's death and resurrection by holy baptism and given us your Spirit, we pray you'd strengthen our hearts and open our ears to hear your holy word and rejoice that you have made us your beloved children in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, as you have opened heaven to your church through holy baptism, give her faithful teachers to proclaim your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that accords with godliness, that many would repent of their sins and join him in his kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of family, and we pray that you'd bless all parents, especially mothers, that they would joyfully acknowledge your gifts of spouse and children and home. Be near to the elderly, the widowed, the orphaned. Lord, we lift up to you those who are not married, that you would strengthen them in their faith and commitment to you, and show forth your grace in them, that they would not feel alone, for you never leave your people alone, any of us. Lord, continue to fortify our homes and our families against the false doctrine and the work of the enemy that lurks in every corner. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your Son, Jesus, is the Christ and the true King of this world. Grant humility to the rulers of the nations, especially our President Joe Biden, that all rulers would submit to the preaching of your holy word for the sake of their own souls and for the good of your holy people. Lord, in your mercy. O God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, have compassion upon your creation. Deliver from danger all who are threatened by natural disaster, dangerous weather, pestilence, flood, or famine. Provide all that is needed for this body and this life. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Holy God, you sent your Son as the servant who would preserve the bruised reed and the faintly burning wick. Hear us on behalf of those in need of healing and deliverance, those that we name from the altar this morning before you. We name the family and friends of Eric Melgoza and the whole Alamosa High School community. We name Wanda Stolp, Carolyn Jury, the family of Jane Cowan, the family of Gary Ross, the family of Barry Gilbert, and the family of Ann Sturer. We name Mona Hauser, Billy Clonch and Missy, Don and Betty Iser, Dave Johnson, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts during this time. O Lord, provide healing, restoration, and justice according to your good and gracious will. And grant that we would always rejoice in your Son's everlasting faithfulness toward us. Lord, in your mercy. O God, in baptism, we were buried with Christ into death and raised with him to walk in newness of life. As we partake of Holy Communion today, give us repentant hearts to receive Jesus' body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have called your church from every tribe and nation. Grant that your people throughout the world would rejoice in the death and resurrection of Christ and live as those who have died and risen with him in holy baptism. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you're joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in. If you're here in the sanctuary with us, we invite you to please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. We're on page 9 there in the bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For at his baptism, your voice from heaven revealed him as your beloved Son, and the Holy Spirit descended on him, confirming him to be the Christ. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Walsenburg.